It has been way too long. We are back. And at the request of Toby, we opened the song with my new album. You know, one of my new songs that have been featured on SEC Network for quite a while. I'm very pumped about it. If you don't know the inside joke about that, and I've been compared to Luke Combs. But anyway, Pod's back. Boys, how are we doing?
It's back. It's better than ever. And Buzz is married now.
Buzz married. Is. Come on, let's get a round of applause going. Let's go. Get it all going. Let's go.
Appreciate it. All the boys were there for the big day. I appreciate it.
I cried seeing you walk down the aisle. Not going to lie.
That's my boy.
Toby also, when the preacher was, Graham, you may kiss your bride, Toby chanted, do it again.
Peyton got on to me because I was singing You Got a Friend in Me as you was walking down there.
That's great.
You got a friend in me. And Toby's in the background, you got a friend in me.
He goes, shh, Toby. It was pretty funny.
Oh, yeah. Boys got back together for Buzz's wedding. Now we're back on Zoom. But let's jump right in. Let's not keep you waiting any longer. Starting off season three, just like we started off about a year ago when we started off season two with SEC previews. We're going to start with the East. I have tabulated all five of us, plus Corey couldn't be on tonight, our polls for how we think the SEC East is going to finish the standing. I'm the only one that knows how they're going to, and most of the guys have no clue. So I'm going to reveal each team, and we're going to go in, we're going to jump and talk about why we had them, where we had them, if we had them in that spot, if we had them higher, lower, whatever, but it's going to be a blast. Let's get right into it. At seventh, what most people would probably expect, the Vanderbilt Commodores came in with an average vote of 6.83, voted everybody by last in the conference except one Mr. Grady Gardner. So, Grady, we'll let you start with you. to exceed all expectations at sixth instead of seventh, what do you like out of the Commodores this year that keeps them out of the bottom of the cellar?
Their head coach is – I bought into him last year, like even before last year. I mean, I talked about this with our picks of the East last year, and we talked about how building a foundation, building a culture, is pivotal in changing an entire program. And with Coach Franklin leaving and going to Penn State a few years ago, we never thought that Vanderbilt would get back to that same aura of a college football team. I mean, we know all Vanderbilt, they're the Harvard of the South. They're known for education and baseball. But I think they're building something there to where there's a future in place. And it may not be this year. It may not be next year. But I feel like in the next 5 to 6 years, they're going to be something to talk about in the SEC East. And to me, they're good enough to be six in the SEC East.
Well, let's talk about it a little bit. Let's talk about Vanderbilt just a bit. You know, most people, and really the one thing I'm going to watch out for Vanderbilt, if they're going to do anything this year out of the norm for what Vanderbilt has come to expect, it's going to be because of one man. He's the only man on many, like, that has been featured on a few all SEC teams leading into the year, and that's their big wide receiver, Will Shepard, who we know way too well last year when we struggled as Ole Miss fans with Vanderbilt a little bit late, early in the first half. It was because Will Shepard made every cornerback that we put on him his little dog. I mean, he made every single corner look like they were 4'3" compared to him. He is a jump ball receiver. He's a special talent, and that's where Vanderbilt's really going to have to rely on this year if they're going to do anything offensively. I think with losing Mike Wright to Mississippi State and their quarterback Ray Davis going to Kentucky as the running back transfer.
Well, I want to say this, Peyton, really quick. So they get Hawaii at home to start the year. I think that's 1-0. Alabama and A&M, that's 2-0. They get Wake Forest. I think that's a loss because they played in there. So they'll be 2-1. UNLV at UNLV, I think they'll win that one. They'll be 3-1 with Kentucky coming to their place on September 23rd. And they beat Kentucky this past year. So I think that's a good toss-up game to start the year.
Well, here's the interesting thing about that. You know, you say it, and we can talk a little bit more about kind of how we see our projection. We'll ask at the end of every what you see the record being in overall in the SEC. You say 3-1. I can see 4-0 in that stretch. Yes, Wake Forest is talented. Obviously, they returned a good bit of talent. They're a very tough football team last year. But you also got to remember Sam Hartman, the heart and soul of that team last year, transferred to Notre Dame. He's gone. He is by the equation. So this is a Wake Forest team. Yeah, you got to go on the road to play at Wake Forest. But this is a team that I think three games in is still going to be looking to find their identity offensively. When Vanderbilt, we know their identity. It's going to be finding Will Shepard and finding ways to get him the football. So what I really think is going to come down to there, if Vanderbilt can get off to a 4-0 start, don't be surprised if all of a sudden with Kentucky, Missouri, and at Florida on the schedule with, you know, those three being probably three of the weaker teams in the East, they've got a real chance of being, if everything is to fall right and the Commodores overexceed, it going 6-1, 7-0.
Oh, wow. I love it.
I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying the schedule.
Yeah. So, Wake Forest, they start against Elon, and then they get Vanderbilt. So, they only have one game before. I guess I'm assuming that Vanderbilt plays week zero again this year. Is that correct?
Yep.
So, they go play Elon, Wake Forest does, then they get Vanderbilt. I don't think you're going to find out a lot of against Elon, to be honest, in football, because I didn't know they had a football program. So, it's going to be their first legit matchup of the year against Vanderbilt. So, I mean, they may not know who their quarterback may be at that point. And, again, that's another question for Vanderbilt, too, with Mike Wright going to Mississippi State. They're going to have to fill in some holes as well as they enter the year.
Bandy will start out 2-0, and then they'll lose the next 10.
Wow.
That's fair.
That's tough. My biggest question mark for Vanderbilt is you only return of your entire starting offense and defense. You only return 10 total starters, 6 on offense, 4 on defense. Where it's going to be tough is that you're going to have to play a whole lot of new guys at a whole lot of new positions in a very competitive East this year. Really, you got the two heavyweights in Georgia and Tennessee, then everybody else. So you have a real chance to make noise throughout the East this year. But I think Vanderbilt's schedule is just, I'm not going to say easy, not going to say that, just easy enough that they could surprise teams and be like a fringe 7-8 win team. But I just don't see them putting a whole lot of wins together. Yes, I think they'll have a couple maybe key wins in quotations. I just don't see them like getting multiple in a row, what you need to do in the SEC East to make a bowl game. I just don't see that happening this year.
Guys,
go ahead.
I'm only seeing four possible wins on the entire schedule.
Really? Where do you see those wins being?
Hawaii, Alabama A&M, possibly Wake Forest, and then UNLV. Like the rest?
You think they're a guarantee?
The rest are on the road, too.
You think they're a guarantee?
I don't think
Huh?
They're a guaranteed 0-8 in the SEC.
I mean, I see Missouri possibly they beat, but other than that, I don't see them winning another one. Florida, Kentucky, Ole Miss, Georgia, Tennessee, Auburn, and South Carolina.
See, I'm not – like, if I was a Vandy fan, I wouldn't be very scared of Kentucky. Wouldn't be very scared of Missouri. Yes, those are both, like, two teams that could, win 7-plus games. But, again, it's like two games where, you know, like they said, they beat Kentucky last year. I feel like Kentucky regressed, and Vanderbilt may have just got a little bit better. Of course, like I said, that they are starting a bunch of new people at key positions. But I wouldn't be scared of Kentucky, and I wouldn't be scared of Missouri. Like I said before, I think they will have a couple SEC wins, and you could probably put it back-to-back here at Kentucky and Mizzou.
The defense, it doesn't look great. You know, they have to fill in a lot of different guys, and that defense ranked last in the SEC anyway. But here's the other side for Vanderbilt. If Clark Lee can find something with an offensive coordinator, this is a team that returns A.J. Swan, who played a lot with Mike Wright last year, threw 10 touchdowns, only 2 interceptions as a true freshman, return all 3 wide receivers, including Will Shepard, and then return 4 offensive linemen that played or started at points last year. This is a pretty experienced offense. But the problem is going to be is can they raise that defensive rating up from being dead bottom in the conference? Because we know in this conference, we know better than anybody is Ole Miss fans. But it doesn't matter how good your offense is. If your defense can't get stops, you're not outscoring teams more than 6 or 7 times in a season.
Well, here's the thing too, Peyton. I sort of want to talk about this. And we talked about that this last year in their SEC East preview. They had Alabama, Ole Miss, Georgia, and then finish with Tennessee. In those 4 games, you have 55 points from Alabama, 52 from Ole Miss, 55 from Georgia and 56 from Tennessee. That's going to skew your data in one direction. And why does it skew that data? Because those teams are really, really, really good. Tennessee was a broken leg away from being in the playoff, if we're going to be honest. Georgia, of course, won the national championship. Alabama had the Heisman Trophy winner. And then Ole Miss at the time was playing pretty good football. So you could say that the data was skewed in that direction last year. Look at this, too. They beat Kentucky. They beat Florida. They beat Florida on the road. Is that correct? Last year, to close out the year,
they're going to the
Swamp at home.
They got.
It wasn't a Swamp.
They beat Kentucky at Kroger Field.
So they won two out of the final three. They played South Carolina, a really good game. They played Missouri, a really good game. So I mean, they finished strong, other than like just getting drilled by Tennessee. But I mean, Tennessee, of course, was a really good team. But I think that, like you said, Peyton, their defense is going to have to show up. But replacing Alabama with Auburn out of the West, and replacing who else do they have here? Well, you still get Ole Miss. You don't get in that stretch I was talking about too. The Vanderbilt, Alabama, Vanderbilt, Ole Miss, Vanderbilt, Georgia. I remember talking about this last year. If they just get out of those games without anybody getting hurt, was going to be a win, because you knew they were going to get killed in all three of those games.
So let's go.
Five games of the season: Georgia, Ole Miss, Auburn, South Carolina, and Tennessee. We don't know whether they're bowl eligible by week five.
Yep, I agree with that.
Let's kind of look at the and we'll quickly move on to the next team. But real quick, everybody, give me what you've got. For their overall and record in the SEC. We already heard Buzz's, am I correct, Buzz? 2-10, 0-8 in the SEC.
2-10, 0-8 in the SEC.
Grady, what you got?
Going
6-6. Bowl eligible.
Yep.
No.
They finished 5-7 last year.
I'm going 4-8 and then 0-8 in the SEC.
I'm gonna go 5-7, 2-6 in the SEC.
I'm going to go
6-6 with wins over Kentucky and Missouri.
I'm going to go 5-7 with being 1-7 in the SEC. Bold prediction for Vanderbilt. I think they go 4-0 through the non-conference slate. I'm going to go ahead and pick that. So now let's look at our number six. Number six unanimously agreed almost, or agreed in average vote, they were number six dead on the spot, the Missouri Tigers. And so Missouri, 15 starters coming up here, 8 on defense. 6 on offense, including their quarterback, Brady. He had surgery in the offseason, but he threw for over 3,000 yards last year. He's a serviceable quarterback. But it really – this is just a team that – it's funny because even though we picked Vanderbilt to be below them, I'm way more excited to watch Vanderbilt this year than I am Missouri. And that – Missouri gets so much hate, I don't want to do that to them. But this is just not a football team that really excites me. When I look and I look for potential – all SEC guys, you see a couple, but they're mainly, special teamers or offensive linemen. They've got, they do return Tyron Hopper, a senior linebacker who was all the SEC last year, made some early SEC teams this year. But overall, this is a team that off the page doesn't jump off to me. And to go with that, they have a very difficult non-conference schedule. And that after South Dakota week one, they play Middle Tennessee, Kansas State, and Memphis. And those are – I mean, if you're not careful, those are three potential losses.
Yeah, they're playing – in Memphis, too, they're playing in a neutral site. They're playing in St. Louis at the Dome.
Yep.
That's weird.
I got them 3 wins, 1-7 in the SEC.
You got them at three – you said you got them at 3 wins, 1-7 in the SEC?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you
– Kansas State beat them.
Gotcha. You look back at last year, and this is a team that they were able to win their final two of the year. They beat Arkansas, and they also beat South Carolina. They beat Vanderbilt. So they ended up going 3-5 in the SEC. Like I said, the schedule is just brutal. They play a tough Kansas Sugar Bowl bound last year. They play Memphis, who is always scary. Middle Tennessee went 8-5 last year. Almost all of your toss-up games, Vanderbilt, Kentucky, and Arkansas, are all on the road. This is just a schedule that doesn't really play out well for Missouri.
Yeah, I pulled up doing a little research. I pulled up a little bit of 247 and just kind of reading kind of like all the returning people. And, you know, their very first statement on the Missouri Tiger, the Missouri Tiger says the Tigers expect to be elite on defense. You know, they return 8 defensive players. And their second statement on Missouri is that each of the 8 returning starters could all be all SEC. But my thing is, when you're thinking about Missouri, they only return 5 people on offense. And, you know, defense, you can say wins championships all day long, but the turn we've seen in the SEC, if you can't score the football, you will not win, no matter how great your defense is. Can Missouri put something together on offense? Like, I know you said they won their last 2, but I'm pretty sure in both those games they won, it was close and pretty low scoring. You might have to fact check me on that. Missouri to win, what was the score?
They scored 45 against New Mexico State and 29 against Arkansas. So,
no, well, 45 against New Mexico. I could score 45 in New Mexico State, being honest with you. But can the offense hold up is my point. You know, again, that's a lot of new guys you got on on offense. You're starting 6 new people. That is something you got to get rhythm into. And that really, it really means a lot the first couple of weeks, how their momentum carries through.
I think if Missouri had a pulse on offense last year, they would have been the only team to beat Georgia last year. They had every chance in the world to win that game. Their kicker kept them in the game. Their defense kept them in the game. Georgia came out there sleepwalking and ended up winning. They won 26-22. But if you watch that game, like Missouri led for like 70-80% of that game, where it was like it was almost embarrassing.
Missouri deserved to win that football game, like you said, if they had offense. And so that's going to be this team. They don't return much on – like, they return Brady Cook, but besides that, they return a walk-on running back. They return a recruit, a sophomore from last year that do just a ton, you know, in terms of production. And then you only return 2 guys on the offensive line. So I just don't know how I feel about this offense, and I don't know how much I can trust them, but – they're going to need that trust because I think we would all agree. I think this could be a win or get out year for Elijah Drinkwitz. I think it's to that point.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. It has to be.
The only thing I'll say about Missouri is they shouldn't even be in the SEC in the first place. I don't like, I'm not just going to turn on TV and watch Missouri. Like, why are they in the SEC?
Bring Tulane back.
Facts.
3-9.
We'll trade Missouri and we'll take Tulane and Florida State.
So,
yep.
What do y'all got? Buzz, we'll start with you, and then we'll go Chuck, Toby, Grady, and up to me so we don't talk over each other. Buzz, what you got?
I got 3-9. I think they win 1 SEC game, of course, against Vanderbilt, but that's it.
Yeah, same thing, 3-9, same loss.
I think South Dakota beats them in the first game of the year. I think they go 2-10.
Oh my gosh,
that's tough. I'm gonna go 4-8 with 2 wins in the SEC, and I'm gonna pick them to beat Florida and Arkansas.
Not even Missouri. I mean, not even Vandy.
No, because I had Vandy beating them.
Yeah,
you've learned,
Toby. You know, I'm right there with you pretty much. I've got them 4-8, but 2 wins in the SEC. I think they dropped to Kansas State, and I think they dropped to Memphis. And then I see them beating Arkansas as well. And then I could see them beating a Florida or, you know, sneaking up on a South either way. But now let's
be honest. Say Memphis wins by more than 2 touchdowns. Do they just go ahead and cut the head coach right there?
Not in Missouri.
No, I wouldn't. But let's go to our number 5 team, the Kentucky Wildcats. And this is one that if you know, it's kind of a tale of two things. You look at, you know, how the media perceives Kentucky, especially the last couple of years. But, you know, it's high. They're second, third in the SEC East. But if you look at a fan's perspective, most fans have them sitting around the 4th and 5th spot. And I wonder if that's because of what they actually think of Kentucky, or if that's just because they have been let down based on preseason expectations like last year and a couple of years ago, because they're 4th in the media poll. They were picked to be 2nd last year. They returned 8 starters on offense. So where are y'all on this Kentucky team that have you picking them around, you know, one of you picked them sixth. I don't know who that was. I can't think off the top of my head, but pretty much the rest of you consistently picked them fifth.
A quarterback play. I don't know much about Devin Leary, but I mean, everybody and their mama was picking, you know, Will Levy was the second coming of, you know, Eli Manning or Peyton Manning, whoever you want to just use as a reference. Quarterback play is going to be big too. And, you know, again, I'm just referring back to returning starters. They only return five starters on defense. Again, you have to have experience in the SEC to win. So if you don't have experience, it doesn't translate to wins. So that right there could be a big question mark for them. Of course, of the only two secondary starters, they only return two people from their entire secondary. So that's big. And they only return one starting defensive lineman. And he is actually, he's not even returning. They're starting a transfer defensive lineman defensive tackle that's going to lead their defense. So that's tough for me. And again, just quarterback play. I mean, you come in from a guy like Will Levis, who they thought was going to be the next guy, the guy. How can you step up and be the second coming of Will Levis, I guess?
Their schedule is super easy to start the season.
I was about to say that too, yeah.
Ball State, is that Eastern Kentucky, Akron, and Vandy? I mean, that's 4-0, but after that, it drops off pretty hard. I think they beat Missouri. I don't see many SEC wins after that. Maybe State? That's it.
So me and Buzz are on the same wavelength right now. I was thinking 3-5 in the SEC and 6-6 overall.
Yep. What's your thoughts on the Wildcats?
So what I was thinking was they're a win against Florida at home from being college game day with Georgia. Where is it? At Georgia. Of course, it wouldn't be a good ball game, but confidence in sports, and John always says this, is 90% of the game. So, I mean, if you start 4-0, you beat Kentucky, or you beat Florida at home, you get Kentucky, or you get Georgia on college game day, there'll be a lot of energy around that game, and crazier things have happened in college football.
All right. So, guys, do y'all want the boldest take so far tonight?
Go ahead.
Everybody else had them six. One person had them six. Who had them six? Was it any of you or was it Corey?
Let me look.
I can't remember. I can look real quick.
I had about five.
So, anyway, while y'all are looking, one person had Kentucky at six. The rest of you had them at fifth. I'm the only one that did not have them at either. Here's your hot take.
I know.
I love this Kentucky team coming out of this year. And I know last year you look at it and you're like, you know, what in the world? How do you get that out of, out of how they performed last year with all the expectations? But they do have Devin Leary. He was one of the best transfer quarterbacks on the market. He's thrown 62 touchdowns in his career on just 16 interceptions. He takes care of the ball. They have Ray Davis, who, if you watch Vanderbilt at all last year, Ray Davis is an underrated running back. He runs the ball very, very well. They have Barry and Brown. We saw him about single-handedly beat us in Oxford last year.
Yeah.
And they return their two other receivers alongside him, and Dane Key and Tavian Robinson. They return their tight end. They return three starters on the offensive line. Now on defense, they return Deion Walker. He's looking like a first round pick in the NFL in a couple of years. He was a freshman All-American. They return J.J. Weaver, who is a senior, could be an elite pass rusher this year. They do only return one in the secondary, but if that secondary could find its way with a couple of transfers they have coming in, the schedule sets up. Like you said, 4-0 to start the year. I think we agree. Florida, I think they're better than Florida this year. Florida's going to be quarterback. Florida may have the worst quarterback in the SEC this year. We'll talk about that later. Then they have Georgia. We'll count Georgia's loss. But then Missouri at home, Tennessee at home. That's a massive one to get at home.
Mm-hmm.
On the road, Alabama at home. They're probably dropping Alabama, but we don't know the quarterback situation in Alabama. Who in the world knows? I don't think anybody had them going 10-2 last year. Then South Carolina on the road and at Louisville. This schedule sets up. I'm picking the Wildcats. Call me crazy. I'm picking them to go 10-2, 6-2 in the SEC.
Here's the thing, Peyton, and with you saying that, they have the Ole Miss schedule of 2022 where they just have this easy breezy start of the year. Then they get like a middle of the ways SEC team that was Kentucky last year. They get Florida this year going into that Georgia game. So I feel like their confidence is going to be where it needs to be when they start SEC play. And then, like you say, They have Alabama, they have Georgia, they have Tennessee, but they get Mississippi State. I don't think Mississippi State's going to be very good this year. I guess that's going to be our next podcast. But I think their schedule, like you couldn't ask for a better schedule, especially after a year of turnover from a quarterback leaving and having to figure out things maybe on offense. I think they'll be okay.
So this is where, you know, now we move in from Kentucky and we move to the, you know, where I think a lot of people have them flip-flopped between the five spot and the four spot. It's the Florida Gators. And so Florida started off the year really strong. They beat Utah at home last year, and all of a sudden, you know, we think, oh my gosh, Billy Napier is already a top half of coach in the league. Then they lose Kentucky, they lose to Tennessee, LSU, Georgia, Vanderbilt was the wheels fall off loss, and then Florida State, and then they nearly get shut out in Oregon against Oregon State in their bowl game. They had to kick a field goal just to preserve their non-scoreless streak. This is a Florida team that started hot. You know, we talk about a tale of two halves in sports. Most of the time it's, you know, the first half is weak and the second half is strong. This is a team that started off very strong and then they whimpered. Yeah. And so I don't see that in a Florida team that changes. They get Graham Mertz. He was the definition of a tale of two hot halves at Wisconsin. They do return Montrell Johnson as running back. He's very good. He's a potential all-SEC guy. But then besides that, they only return two more starters on offense, and they only return four starters on defense entirely, one of those being their punter. This is a team that's so inexperienced. And then they draw Arkansas and LSU out of the West. They have Florida State at home, which is helpful, but still Florida State's going to be fantastic. They got to go to Utah. This is a team that if they're not perfect in the games that they need to win, I see them whimpering and struggling to get to bowl eligibility this year.
That's a good point. I think that the turning point of their year will be that Kentucky game on the 30th, because I think they're going to be staggering in after getting Tennessee and Utah, because I think those are both L's, and then McNeese State and Charlotte. Their schedule is so polar because they're so good with Tennessee and Utah, and then you get McNeese State and Charlotte. There's no healthy in between there. And then you get Kentucky, and that's when you're going to actually see what this football team's made of, I believe.
I got them going 6-6 and
yeah, it's fair.
Four and six.
It's kind of mid.
Toby, what?
My thing is, you answered my first point about the inexperience. You know, I'm looking at their schedule, and I think their biggest factor is they get to play in the swamp. When you're playing at home, you get, let's see here, you get Vanderbilt at home. That's a win. Get Arkansas at home. I think, again, I'm not super sold on Arkansas. I think Arkansas is going to drop a few games that they shouldn't. This could be one that they drop. And then, of course, Florida State, and you get them at home. But, you know, I have Florida State making it to the national championship game. They get blown out in that one. But, you know, yeah. Aha, yeah, buddy. Woo-hoo. Chop on.
That's right. Chop on.
Chop on. I think Florida, if like you said, you know, you're bringing in a transfer quarterback who, you know, from Wisconsin, right? So where he's from, Wisconsin. You have to be able, as Billy Napier, you have to be able to, if you can win a couple games, you have to be able to carry on the momentum. And that's what you're going to see. If Florida can carry that on and get home, get to the swamp, then they could possibly have a better season. But, I mean, I think I have them going 6-6 and probably – I'm guessing probably 3-5 in the SEC.
I've got them at I've got them around 6-6-2 around that. Utah, I think, is an L. Tennessee at home, that's an L. At Kentucky, that's a toss up. But you know, early on in the season with two transfer quarterbacks, give it to the home team, Kentucky. At South Carolina, they could win that one, but they're going to have to be good. Georgia's an L. Arkansas is going to be tough with KJ Jefferson. LSU is an L at LSU, at Missouri, and Florida State. You know, honestly, I know we've already set our poll, and I'm not going to change the official poll, but looking at it now, I'm not so sure I'm not going to flip Missouri and Florida and maybe have Missouri at 5th and Florida at 6th. This schedule is brutal in the back half.
Yeah.
For experience. Their toss-up games don't fall how they would want them at home.
Yeah, they don't get an Akron or Eastern Kentucky. They get a Utah.
So let's look.
That's tough, man.
It's really tough. Florida from four.
That sucks.
Three. Three is a team that's gotten a lot of hype based on, we talked about how Florida whimpered to end the season. This team boomed at the end of the season, and that is the South Carolina Gamecocks, who
they – Beamer ball, baby!
Ball, it prevailed at the end of the year. They blow out Tennessee, ruin their playoff hopes. They beat Clemson in one of the best college football games of last season, and then they had an absolute blast of a ball game against Notre Dame where they did fall short by one score. But this is a team that they may be that team, you know, that they're not competing for an SEC championship, but they're the team that everybody's going to look at on their schedule and say, oh my gosh, we got South Carolina this week. Like, you know, that they're going to be that kind of team this year. They return five offensive starters, four defensive starters, one of them being Spencer Rattler, who looked so much better in the second half of the season compared to the first half.
Yeah. So I was reading again, just pulling 247. It's a little bit easier to read. They would have 10 returning starters on offense, but they lost three offensive tackles, one wide receiver, and I think they said they lost a tight end, starting tight end or fullback. I'm just a real believer in Beamer, and I'm a real believer in Spencer Rattler. I've always liked Spencer Rattler. I know when there was rumors of him coming to Ole Miss, y'all all did not want him to come. I originally did. I'm a believer in Carolina, and I honestly could say that I think they could pull off a couple upsets that they possibly could sneak into the two seed in the SEC East, in my opinion.
When they beat Georgia in week three? That's my prediction.
Woo! W. Yeah. W. I mean, I'm not sold on Georgia. I didn't have Georgia number one. Spoilers.
Wow. Yeah, we're going to get into that in a minute. But let's look at the schedule real quick for, you know, this team. They start off neutral site against North Carolina. Throw anything out in that one. It's a toss-up. Furman win. Georgia, we just heard from Buzz. That's a win. But if you're going to get Georgia this year, you're going to want them early in the season. Mississippi State at home, I think that's a win. At Tennessee, it's tough. Florida at home, at Missouri, at Texas A&M, that one is going to be really tough. And then Vanderbilt, Kentucky, and Clemson to finish out a four-game home stretch at the end of the year. So this schedule is not easy, but at the same time, it sets up well for a team to possibly make a 9-3, 10-2 run off of it.
I would say I got them 10-2 and then 6-2 in the SEC.
Hmm. Yeah. I honestly agree with you. I could honestly say 10-2. I have them at third place. So I'm going to say – I want to say 9-3, but my heart says 10-2, 6-2 in the SEC.
Listen,
that's what I'm going to say. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it with you, buddy. I ain't fading you this time.
I'm going to say 8-4, but they go 5-3 in the SEC. I think they drop to North Carolina in the opening game of the season, and then along the way between Georgia, Tennessee, Texas A&M, and Kentucky, they're going to drop two. They're probably going to go 2-2 out of those games. So I think I like them around that. But I would pick – they're going to beat either North Carolina or Clemson this year. Not both, I don't think, but they're going
to – I'll say 9-3.
I think Clemson's going to play flat after, you know, after being out of the race for the ACC. I think they're going to play flat and get spanked by old Beamer.
Interesting thought. Great.
Rattler is the most pampered and catered to quarterback in the NCAA history.
But he's good. But he's good. So
his video. There was a video of him today. He's getting the G-Wagon because South Carolina paid him millions of dollars to come to South Carolina, and he gets blasted by Florida and Missouri last year.
But he also beats six. But he also dominates. He also dominates Clemson and blows out Tennessee.
Clemson was garbage. Clemson would have finished middle of the pack in the West last year. They wouldn't have beat Mississippi State or Ole Miss either one last year.
And that's why I'm not sold on Clemson.
Tennessee was mid after their quarterback got hurt. Those two teams weren't the same teams. They were just name brands at that time. Tennessee wasn't Tennessee they were in the earlier.
And here's the thing. Let's get about this. I am one of the biggest Spencer Rattler non-apologists in the world. I was hailing from the rooftops that Spencer Rattler didn't belong in the Heisman conversation or the number one pick conversation when after his freshman year he was getting all that hype. He's slow-footed. He holds the ball far too long a lot of times, and he's not incredibly accurate. However, in the second half of the season, we saw him play in Beamer's system a little bit better. We saw him take care of the football more. We saw him not afraid to make plays with his legs, but also be smart when he needs to, you know, throw it away and live to fight another day. We saw him be quick to leave the pocket if he saw a hole open up in the line to run. This is a quarterback that, at the time, not a fan of Spencer Rattler, he has a chance to progress himself to be an NFL draft pick next year if he plays the way he did in the second half of the season.
I agree with you, but one of the greatest offensive minds in college football couldn't use him anymore with Lincoln Riley.
Well, we're talking,
and they go to Caleb Williams.
Let's talk. I mean, we're talking about Spencer Rattler to Caleb Williams. That's like comparing it, no disrespect to Rattler, that's like comparing a Camaro to a Ferrari, okay? We're talking two very different quarterbacks.
Yeah, but look, it was his job to lose as an older classman, and he had every opportunity in the world to do so. And of course, like you say, Caleb Williams, he's going to make a lot of money. He's going to play a long time in the NFL. But Spencer Rattler, I didn't see enough of him last year to get to that point. Do I?
He had just as much hype as Caleb Williams coming out of high school, five-star. That's what you're trying to say, I think.
Yeah.
Well, let's get off the Spencer Rattler talk, and now we'll move to our number two team in the vote. The only other team besides the Georgia Bulldogs to get a first place vote, and that is the Rocky Top Tennessee Volunteers.
Rocky Top, you'll always be home sweet home to me.
I don't know. I don't understand Toby's Tennessee bias. That just recently came on the last like year and a half.
Anyway, let's look at Tennessee. Okay,
that's Lane Kiffin's child. What do you mean?
In return, Max. 7 starters on offense, 6 on defense. They return Joe Milton, who, you know, he
throw ball far.
Kind of a no accuracy, but throw it 100 yards.
Yeah.
He did start, you know, in the back half of the season, obviously, when Hooker went down. And to give Tennessee credit, they returned
down
a lot with running back Jabari Small. They returned Brew McCoy. They returned Jacob Warren. They returned 2 offensive line starters. They returned a couple of guys in their secondary. They returned both safeties over the top. But this is kind of the back half of my Tennessee pick where everybody else, nobody picked Tennessee lower than 2nd. I had Tennessee at 4th, okay? I'm not Tennessee mainly because of 2 reasons. 1, you're breaking in a quarterback that in a limited sample size, he's looked pretty good, but we don't really know how good he can be. We've heard all this about Joe Milton, about how accurate he is, or about how big his arm is, how he can throw the ball 90 yards. That's great. But I want to see if on 3rd and 15, you can complete a pass over the middle against a blitz. I want to see how he grows as a passer behind an offensive line that's going to be breaking in 3 new starters this year. And I just haven't seen enough out of Joe Milton in the limited time I've seen him to believe in that. I'm not going to get hyped over a big arm, because that's what NFL draft scouts do all the time. They salivate over the arm, and then they realize that the mind and the accuracy of the arm is not there, but they overlook it because it's so pretty to watch that ball sail 75 yards down the field. And this is a team that I just don't know how much confidence I have in them to win 6 games in the SEC this year, breaking in a new quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my personal opinion on Tennessee, there is 2 question marks: quarterback Joe Milton, and also they lose 2 of their top wide receivers. They lose the Biletnikoff Award winner. I can't remember his name. I know he won best wide receiver last year. Then they lose another 5-star wide receiver.
He's a giant, and you don't remember his name?
I don't remember his name. Tell me.
Jalen Hyatt.
Oh, yeah, there he is. I don't watch the NFL, but I'm a Giants fan.
Casual.
Yeah, okay. We can get on that one. But that's the 2 biggest. But they bring in 3 wide receiver transfers. 5-star wide receiver out of Oregon. Can't remember his name. I just saw it. I have to pull it back up. And then 2 4-star wide receivers to get to fill that depth. So that's your 2 question marks right there. But, I mean, you replace great talent with great talent again. Josh Heupel is arguably, you could make the argument that he's the best offensive coach in all of football. You could make that argument pretty obvious. Only other person I could see is Lane Kiffin or Lincoln Riley. That could be the other two arguments.
Title because he comes in with last year's top-ranked scoring offense. They scored 46 points this year.
Yeah. Biggest question mark is going to be how well does the defense play? How well does the defense play this year? Do they keep Tennessee in games, or does the offense just take over and blow teams out? I don't see that latter option, so the defense has to step up. Could they hold teams to less than 35, 40 points? That's going to be the biggest thing. Can Tennessee hold teams less than 40 points? Then they could go on a run.
They're going 11-1 and then 7-1 in the SEC.
So who do they lose?
See, I've got them.
Do they lose?
I've got them going.
Do they lose to Alabama or Georgia?
No.
Georgia.
So I've got 11-1 as well. But I've got it flipped. I say they beat Georgia in Athens, but they lose to Alabama in Neyland Stadium. So yeah. I have them number one. I have them playing Alabama in the SEC championship game.
It'll be really interesting, Toby, that they beat them in Athens, seeing as that game is in Neyland.
No. Oh, got it. No.
Georgia play at Tennessee. Yeah.
Yeah, Alabama. They play. Okay, got it backwards, but same principle still stands.
So my thought,
you can't catch me lacking back to back years.
my thought process with Tennessee this year is they're gonna have a Matt Corral effect. You saw how Ole Miss sort of rebounded this year after losing I don't know if I can say that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't make that. I'm going to say probably the greatest quarterback of the last 5 to 6 years. I can't say 10 because I love Chad Kelly.
Caleb Williams.
But, you could see how good we were to begin the year, but once we started to hit a rough patch, we didn't have that guy behind center to sort of turn us around. And I think Hendon Hooker was pivotal. And how good they were last year, as you can see, how they ended the year last year. Will Joe Milton have that kind of year that Jackson Dart had last year, to where he starts off hot? He looks like maybe the guy that's gonna lead us or lead the team into the next phase, and they sort of fizzle out in the end because they face some adversity that they can't turn it around with. I think that's gonna happen in Tennessee this year, and I think it's gonna be a process to see how that void that Hendon Hooker left will be filled.
That's a great comparison.
To put it in layman's terms, what Grady is asking is, does Joe Milton have that dog in him?
Does he? That's a great question. I mean,
we're going to find out this year. We're going to find out.
He don't got that dog in him. He's got that vol in him.
Rocky Top. Okay. So this is falling off the rails. We're going to find out. We'll leave it off at this. If anybody else has any last comments about Tennessee after this, but we're going to find out this year more than any year, I think. Was this a Josh Heupel offense boom, or was this Josh Heupel being able to put together an all-time offense because he had a Heisman finalist quarterback and the best wide receiver in the country? We're going to find that out this year. And that's going to be the difference in Tennessee going 10-2, 11-1, and 8-4, 9-3.
And rarely, you never see this, where a wide receiver just takes the top off of an Alabama defense. How many touchdowns did he have against Alabama again?
Four or five
touchdowns. Took the top off of that Alabama defense. So it's hard to replicate talent of that caliber. And Tennessee fans, and we know how, I guess, for lack of better words, insane Tennessee fans are. They're going to expect that same caliber of player this year, and it's going to be really hard to replicate that same production this year.
It was five. You're right.
Well, now let's go to the number one. We all expected it. I thought they might go unanimous, but then I forgot that Toby Leach was a part of this podcast. So – but number one in our rankings, in our consensus rankings, is the Georgia Bulldogs. Last year, the two-time defending national champions, trying to do something that hasn't been done for at least 30 years, if not more, in college football, which is win three national championships back-to-back-to-back. I think it might be more closer to 50. But it's interesting how this is a Georgia team that 2 years ago we were asking, well, gosh, can Kirby win the big one? Can Kirby actually in Georgia break that 40-year national championship curse? And now we're asking, is anybody ever going to be able to stop Georgia? Because this is a team that returns six starters on offense, seven starters on defense, including the most dynamic receiver in all of college football in Brock Bowers. I don't care who else you want to say. Forget it. You're wrong. It's Brock Bowers. They returned Ladd McConkey, who, if you watched Georgia last year, he was an underrated dog for that offense last year. They returned plenty of Georgia's defense. They're going to have guys drafted every year, and it doesn't matter. They're replacing them with guys that even at 18 years old could probably go be a backup on an NFL squad. They're just that good, that different. And then the main question is going to be, for the first time in a few years, what's the quarterback situation? We know Carson Beck is supposed to be the heir apparent to Stetson Bennett, but how is he going to progress? And like we talked about earlier, and one of y'all pointed to, they do have a tough test early in South Carolina. It starts off really easy, UT Martin and Ball State, to get him adjusted, but then they have South Carolina as that real test.
Yeah, I got them 11-1, 7-1 in the SEC.
Me too. Lost to South Carolina.
Yep.
Lost to the Rams. I think it'll take them their quarterback a while to get into the season, but I think they'll lose an early one, then they'll settle in.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only thing you can say on Georgia's roster. Who, like, what's the question mark at and you could say quarterback. But, I mean, they won two national championships with a JUCO transfer quarterback. So, they could throw Chuck Spencer out there, and they're going to win a natty. So, is it really a question mark? No. It's Georgia. But they are going to lose to Tennessee, so it don't matter.
Grady, I don't know if you're with me. Am I the only person that has Georgia going 12-0 in the SEC this year?
You're not. It's college football is very simple to explain. When you have talent and you have a competent head coach, you're going to win a lot of football games. A lot of people want to say Texas A&M is in that same boat. They have a lot of money, but I think Jimbo Fisher is not as competent as people believe he is. Kirby Smart is the second coming of Nick Saban. And Georgia may, I would think so. They have more resources than Alabama does right now, to where it's rumored that they offer any five-star player, and this, of course, is rumored, $1 million to come to the University of Georgia. So
I'd go.
Yeah. I mean, it's not too hard. To where there's no salary cap. And of course, this is something that Lane Kiffin has gone into. And it's been a question raised in college football today. How can schools like Ole Miss, schools like Mississippi State, how can we compete with schools that can offer right off the hip $1 million to a five-star player, to where we're just lucky that we can get a guy like that on campus? I mean, we just built a brand new $50 million Manning Center complex for recruits to come in and see. But at the end of the day, we know the bottom line is money talks. And we've seen consequences of that in the past with quarterbacks leaving to go to Texas A&M. We've seen transfer portals, even from Mississippi State going to Georgia. What was that wide receiver that left?
Ra-Ra.
Yeah, Ra-Ra went to Georgia due to, he would say, better opportunities. But, of course, we know it's for NIL money. It's just the world we live in today. And I think Georgia's building a monopoly that may be hard to bust.
Well, and you're right. But let's just lay our cards on the table. Just as much as we want to say it's NIL, and for a good bit portion it is, let's also just lay our cards on the table that the Georgia Bulldogs have – figured out the formula behind past.
Oh, yeah.
They've got one of the best experiences in college football between the Hedges and Sanford Stadium. They have prestige of now two back-to-back national champions. But even before that, Georgia was you could have made an argument for a blue blood, even with the national championship drought. And I wouldn't have argued with you, because Georgia's just always been that team. They have one of the best defensive coordinators in the country, and Will Muschamp. You can say what you want about him as a head coach. As a defensive coordinator, he's fantastic. Offensive coordinator, Mike Bobo, he has familiarity. Todd Monken left for the NFL, but he was with Georgia staff last year. He's been an offensive coordinator at Georgia before. He'll step right back in and be fine. And then, of course, let's not forget, I'm laying all my cards on the table, the best coach in college football is Kirby Smart. Now, Nick Saban is the greatest college football coach of all time still, but right now, Kirby Smart is the best coach in college football.
And another thing I want to talk about, too, is like Toby was talking about Stetson Bennett and how easy it is to slight Stetson Bennett. But he went 18 of 25 for 304 yards, four touchdowns, he also rushed for three times for 39 yards and two touchdowns. It's like he's playing Nerf football in the yard. I mean, and we say this all the time, but Stetson Bennett is a dog. I mean, and when they needed him to make a play down the stretch in the playoffs, when the lights are on, he made the plays, and no matter what you may say about him or no matter what you think about him, he's a JUCO bandit that got it done, and I respect him for it.
But that is the Georgia Bulldogs, and with that, everybody, like I said, everybody in our group besides Toby picked Georgia to win the SEC East. We will see how next week when we come back and we do our SEC West predictions, we'll see how many in our group pick Georgia to win the entire SEC. But guys, that is about it. Wraps up the SEC East. To give you again a little reminder, Vanderbilt 7, Missouri 6, Kentucky 5, Florida 4, SCAR, South Carolina 3, Tennessee 2, and Georgia 1 in our Sports Hour Pod consensus SEC East predictions. But guys, any last remarks on any teams in the actually, you know what? Let's do this. Hot take for the SEC East this year. It can be a player breaking out. It can be a player being a bust. It can be a team winning or losing a game. You know, it won. Try to make it one you already hadn't said.
Spencer Rattler is a finalist for the Heisman.
Okay. That's definitely. That out of all the takes, that is one. Is
Caroline's going to give mine. She's going to do your hot take for the SEC East.
What is it?
What's your hot take?
Oh, you're asking me?
Yeah.
Which side's the East?
Georgia, East. South Carolina, Kentucky, all them.
The bad side.
Like, let me think.
We'll come back to her.
We'll come back to Caroline.
Okay. Joe Milton is in the Heisman finalist candidates.
Joe Milton is in the Heisman finalist. Chuck, what you got?
Vanderbilt's coach gets fired in the eighth game.
Oh my gosh.
Because they start 0-8.
Yep.
Oh my. That's valid.
Do we have Caroline's prediction?
Georgia.
Ooh.
That's scorching.
That's a good one.
That is on
save
fire.
That one. That's a pin.
That's coming straight out of hell right
I'll,
there.
I'll go with mine. I'm going to say Mark Stoops wins coach of the year after, like I said, he takes Kentucky to being second in 10-2 in the SEC.
You made valid arguments for Kentucky. You persuaded me.
But anyway, guys, that's
You persuaded me for them to go to 7-5 instead of 6-6.
Kentucky, appreciate your support, Toby. But guys, this has been a blast. I'm excited that we are back doing this. We will be back next week, like I said, SEC West. So we'll get into the Rebels, the Bulldogs, the Tigers, the Crimson Tide, and all the like, and we'll talk about all the SEC. And then after that, maybe we get some NFL, some nationwide college predictions. It's going to be fun, guys. Make sure you stick along. You know, if you got here, you probably always follow us on social media, but follow us on Twitter, on TikTok. We're posting content there, trying to post as much as we can. But for that, I think we are good to go and send off. But for Buzz and Caroline, we won't forget Caroline. For Chuck, for Toby, and for Grady, I'm Peyton saying so long, God bless, and we'll see you again next week. Peace.